Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Love Sport.
There you go. If you can't go to a pub, you can't go to a club, you can't go to a cafe, you can't do any of that stuff, but don't worry, we're bringing the vibe to you on this, the Norwich City Fan Show, with me, Matt Beadle. We're with you through to 10:30 this evening, talking all things Norwich City. In a moment or two, we're going to speak to ex-player Adrian Forbes. He's been on the show a few times. Great bloke, plenty of stories to tell. We might have to delve into his vault of Norwich City stories, because of course there's no football to actually talk about at the moment, so we might talk about what happened back in the day. And Adrian is a man with many stories in his locker. But before we do that, I've got a very quick message to give you, because Boris has been on the stand, hasn't he, today. He's been telling people about social distancing, but people don't seem to be listening. I think they need to hear from a more authoritative figure. Michael McGovern, over to you.
Hi everyone, just a quick message from me about the coronavirus. We all need to come together to battle this virus. We all need to do the right things and act in a responsible manner. So please do not gather in large groups. Think about what you're doing and who it can affect. So join me in supporting the fight back against coronavirus with three simple steps. Stay at home, wash your hands, and keep your distance. Stay safe.
Simple. Michael McGovern, stay at home, wash your hands, keep your distance, stay safe. If you're not going to listen to Boris, listen to the big man, Mike. That's what we want to do, is listen to Michael McGovern. He speaks a lot of sense, does that man. And another man who speaks plenty of sense is Adrian Forbes. He's with us now. Hello, Adrian.
Good evening.
How are you, mate?
Bored, to be honest with you. Trying to get used to, as Michael's just said there, just trying to get used to staying in, to be honest with you, I think. When you've got people that are in the football world and people that are used to being out and about every day, it takes some getting used to, but I think it's the reality of the situation, an unprecedented situation at the moment. We'll need to do what we need to do to make sure we can get rid of this virus as soon as we can.
For you, Adrian, your current setup, I know it is difficult times. What's it been like for you, and how is it affecting you and your work?
I think from a work point of view, obviously living in Norwich still, but working in Luton, there was a lot of commuting. So I'm saving an absolute fortune on fuel, which is the only bonus, really. But obviously Luton Town, from an academy point of view, is on a complete and utter shutdown, obviously, in line with the rules that the FA, Premier League and EFL have put together. So it's a work from home situation at the moment. But, you know, there's only so much you can do working from home when your main job is coaching footballers. So it's a real, real strange situation, but it's something that we're just going to have to try and grin and bear for the foreseeable future.
And for you as well, Adrian, I mean, this is where it's key, isn't it? Because, you know, footballers will talk to each other, but it's at times like these that footballers, especially young footballers, the type of footballers that you're dealing with as well, are going to need to look up to a mentor, to a source of advice, a source of inspiration in these times. So for you to keep on top of this and keep in regular contact with these guys as well, it's really important.
It is important, and it's making sure that they obviously heed the warnings that are out there at the moment, and making sure that, you know, they are young and people will want to be out and about and, you know, being in the social gatherings that people are talking about at the moment. But it's making sure the players understand the situation and the importance of the situation at the moment, but obviously still trying to keep their sanity. I think if you look at the under-18s, they still do obviously education work within the football club footballers do about the whole of academy football. So there's plenty of work that we've been able to set them to keep them occupied over this period of time whilst they are away from football. But yeah, it is difficult, and it's just trying to keep that communication, keep that contact between, you know, the players and the coaches. And you've seen lots of the toilet roll challenges that have been going on, you know, certain things they can do to keep their sanity.
Have you done one, mate?
I haven't. I've got to be honest with you. I had a little bit of a kick around with my 19-year-old with the toilet roll, but it was. I don't think I'm going to be posting my efforts on social media anytime soon, that's for sure.
that's fair enough, mate. Absolutely fair enough. From your time as a player, I mean, I know these are unprecedented times for us. Is there anything that happened like this when you were a player? I mean, listen, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but anything where you were like, right, I've got to be isolated from the team, be it, a personal issue, an injury, I suppose that's the most likely, isn't it?
Yeah, the injuries I've had, where you're away from the players, but that's not a case of being told to be away from people. When I had quite a serious knee injury, and I missed the majority of a whole season of football through this injury. So I've certainly been in situations where I've been in isolation on my own, in a gym working to get back to full fitness, but certainly never been a situation like this where you are physically told that you are not allowed to go to work or you're not allowed to socialise with the lads and being around the dressing room. And I think from a footballer's point of view as well, that the dressing room is a massive part of the journey. Yes, everyone will see the actual 3 o'clock on a Saturday or 7:45 in a midweek football, but the dressing room, the camaraderie and the banter that is born within the dressing room with them reflects performances on the weekend is massive. So I know there'll be certain players out there that will be missing that, you know, that team spirit and missing the lads at this moment in time. But certainly from my footballing days, other than injuries, you know, these sort of situations aren't really seen.
And it is the dressing room. It's also structure, isn't it? From a lot of footballers that I've spoken to over the years, it's structure, it's routine. It's, listen, I know that I've got to be at the training ground for 9 and I'm going to be there until, 12, and then we might have lunch until 2 and then I'm gone and I'm due to do my own things, but I might have various other commitments. But it's that structure of knowing that you're going to be at the training ground. You know that on, you know, Thursday or Friday, you're going to travel to an away game. If you've got midweek games, it's having that structure. And I think for us mere, you know, non-football types like me who kind of get by in life and do what we do, don't always have to adhere to that structure because we've got a bit more freedom. But for footballers, they have that structure. So take that away from them and suddenly life, the world as we know it, is completely different.
Oh, completely. And I think, you know, as well, Ducky, I've documented it personally, some of the things I struggled with when I came out of the game. And one of the things that was my main struggle was, as you quite rightly said there, the routine, the almost regimental state of being that footballer in. You almost go into the training ground, you sit where you sit, you eat what you eat, you go into the gym and you do your gym circuit, you go out onto the pitch at the time that you know you're supposed to go out there. You know if you've got an away game on that weekend, you know roughly what time the coach is going to leave, what sort of hotel you're going to be staying in, etc. And then when you get to the hotel in the evening, you know what the evening meal is going to look like and you know what the pre-match meal is going to look like the next day. So when that structure is taken away from you, it is very, very hard and very difficult to deal with. And there'll be a lot of people that have, you know, men that are in their 30s, late 20s, etc., that have been experiencing that structure since the age of 16, 17. So it certainly is going to take a lot of adjustment for all these lads to get used to. And also it's going from the structure to now being at home, doing whatever, having that family life, and almost not knowing when that structure is going to come back in as well. If you looked at it from a situation of this is almost like a closed season period, season's over, you then get a few weeks off. But at least with that, you go away with a program which is structured to get you to a state of fitness before you go back into pre-season, which you'll have a date for. At this moment in time, the lads are at home doing what they're doing. They have no date. They don't know when it's going to start again. So they have no understanding of when that structure is going to restart. So a very, very strange, odd time for the players. Really strange.
And that is why, isn't it, why mental health is being spoken about a lot. Not just now, I mean, it's at the forefront of everybody's minds really in recent times, but especially now. It is so important for footballers to reach out to the likes of yourself, to anybody really, just to keep themselves talking, to keep themselves motivated. And it is great to see these Twitter videos, but I do have a slight fear as to how much longer these will be able to continue. You know, it's all very well having a bit of fun at the moment, but how, I mean, footballers especially, I mean, most of us are going to be like caged animals, just desperate to just get out there on the grass and just do something. Footballers in particular, I think, are very much going to be like that. In terms of returning to training, there are suggestions, of course, that many clubs might return to training behind closed doors, just literally the players and no one else. And then maybe we're talking about football behind closed doors. I raised the issue earlier that, you know, with football, you need medical staff, because if a player goes and turns on his ankle, you need someone there to assist him. But we can't let medical staff go at the moment because we need medical staff for this current outbreak. So we are in this limbo land, aren't we?
We certainly are. And, you know, you can look at the, how far do we take it? If we're looking at the situation now, we don't want small groups hanging together, which I totally back, totally understand. But then if you're going to play football behind closed doors because of that situation, you're going to have 22 men on the pitch. You're then going to have a manager for each side. You're then going to have the coaching team for each side, which could potentially, you know, some management teams, shall we say, will have a backroom team that may be into the teams. So you've got 22 plus players. You've then got the management team and the staff from both teams. That's a small gathering. That is a group setting at the end of the day. So, you know, I don't know what the answers are going to be and when we will return to football at the end of April. You know, there's a lot of things that remain to be seen between now and then. But it really is a, I know everyone keeps using the word unprecedented. I don't think anyone could have ever prepared themselves for having to deal with this sort of situation now, or even if they know what the answers are going to be going forward. So it's certainly going to be interesting to see how it all pans out over the next month or two.
It certainly is. Adrian, it's great as ever to have you on the show. One final thing before you go back to your boredom, as you said, is I know we've spoken about your great moments before, but we're going to step back into our Love Sport time machine. Right, here we are, mate. We are travelling through the archives and we've landed. Now, you told me a great story before of, you know, summoning Norwich City fans and their on the ball nature at Wembley before. We've heard that one. Give us another one. Your favourite memory as a Norwich City player?
I think one of them, this is a bit of a sombre but hilarious memory at the same time. And obviously when I was involved in this game and playing, I couldn't laugh about it. But it goes back to an East Anglian derby. Ipswich versus Norwich at Portman Road. I believe it might have been 98 or 99. And we actually lost by 5 goals. And Alex Maffey scored a hat-trick. I believe Bobby Petter and someone else might have scored the goals as well. But obviously we've just shipped 5 goals in an East Anglian derby. We've got our heads held in shame. And the drugs testers were there afterwards and they pulled our 2 centre-backs, which I believe on the day were Matt Jackson and Craig Fleming, potentially. Don't quote me on that. I could be wrong. But the drugs testers took him for drug testing. And you're going, hang on a minute. You've just taken our 2 centre-backs for performance-enhancing drugs and we've just conceded 5 goals. So you can imagine the management team going absolutely stir-crazy after this game. And I can't remember which one of the players it was, but one of the players shouting in the background, I can't believe you're picking our 2 centre-backs for performance-enhancing drugs. If they were actually taking anything, they certainly didn't work because they were horrendous. And I can clearly remember the testers being there trying to keep a straight face and almost the embarrassment of the fact that they'd picked these two individuals on the day. 5 goals conceded in an East Anglian derby, the embarrassment alone. They obviously didn't play very well and then they had to suffer that afterwards. So I think that goes down as, apart from obviously outside of the football and making the Canary fans sing quite loudly at Wembley, that has to go down as one of my amusing but strange stories of my time at Norwich and one of my real, real good memories of my journey at the club.
You've topped it, Adrian. I love that because you haven't just picked a goal, you haven't picked a performance, you've picked a funny memory. Thinking outside the box, mate, that's perhaps what you've been able to do with all this time at home. There you go.
Indeed, I have.
It's come to some good use on the Norwich City Fan Show. Mate, stay strong. Thank you very much for joining us as always. Adrian Forbes there, top bloke, ex-Norwich City player, of course. Really, really good to hear his stories every time he's here on the Norwich City Fan Show. Next up, we've got Jacob Robinson from Canary Cast.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Love Sport.
Norwich City Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me and Matt Beadle with you for around 12 more minutes before we move on to our final show of the evening. Niall Bromley from the Roker Report will join us to talk all things Sunderland. We're going to speak to Jacob Robinson from Canarycast in about 45 seconds or so, but just a quick reminder that Boris Johnson took the stand again for one of his daily briefings with the English public, the British public, and spoke about this social distancing. He also touched on shielding, of course, the 1.5 million residents that are going to be contacted by the NHS to go into self-isolation for 12 weeks. It is going to be quite a time in this country. But Boris naturally said what he needed to say, but no one really seems to be taking much notice. We heard from Michael McGovern at the top of the show. We're going to hear from another City legend right now.
Hi, everybody. For all you people of a certain age group who are self-isolating and finding life a little bit tough at the moment, be sure to follow the NHS rules and keep yourselves safe. It won't be that long before we'll be seeing football back at Carrow Road. So until that time, keep yourself safe and well.
There he is. City legend, Norwich City ex-manager Dave Stringer there. Vividly remember him because as I was first getting into football, he was the manager at the time. Of course, never went on to manage another club. Interesting scenario, that one. Decided, no, I've had enough. I'm going to bow out on a high. That's it. I'm done with professional football. But great to hear from him there. He posted that was posted on the Norwich City official Twitter. Dave Stringer speaking to the people of this fine nation, just telling you, remember, keep your distance. On the line now, we have Jacob Robinson from Canarycast. Hello, Jacob.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. I'm good. Funny old time to be in a radio studio speaking to people. But listen, we've got to keep the spirits alive. We've got to keep the positivity pumping through this fine seafaring nation of ours. Now, let's talk a bit about Norwich, mate, because, you know, it is the Norwich City Fan Show. There's no football going on, but we want to still keep tabs on our fine Canaries. Are you keeping tabs on them? I know Twitter and I know social media and I know all sorts are trying to delve into the archives to pick out some of the best bits over the history of the club. It's just to kind of keep fans interested.
Yeah, exactly. I think I've spoiled myself very well. I've been doing it myself, watching a lot of the previous seasons. And there's obviously a lot of that today. For example, Alex Tete's goal against Sunderland was 6 years ago. So obviously you look over the time period and try and pick out some classics, and there are quite a lot from Norwich City's history. I think that keeps the fans happy, the buzz continuing whilst we wait for the team to come back and play at Carrow Road again.
Do you know what? You mentioned Alex Tete there. It is 6 years ago today. We were going to bring it up in a moment or two, but seeing as you mention it, listen, we might as well. Let's relive that great moment. There we go. A goal of the highest order, Jacob. A goal of the highest order from Alex Tete there. It was a great goal, wasn't it? Sort of a flying right foot volley into the sort of middle bins of the goal. I don't know quite what you'd call that. But yeah, a great goal from him. Slightly better than his sort of misguided toe punt at Old Trafford.
Yeah, well, funny story, because it's my birthday today. And obviously,
oh,
it was 6 years ago. I was actually behind the goal on that day, and as soon as the ball came flying up to him, I could hear someone behind me say, "Oh God, please don't shoot." And famous last word. It was a fantastic goal, and he has scored a couple of worldies, but that one's certainly up there. And like you say, middle bins, but totally unsavable all the same.
Are you surprised that he's still at the club, Alex Tete? I think a lot of people maybe thought that he might be one to eventually move on, but he's really sort of dug in there, hasn't he?
I think it's in the last two or three seasons, you could say that, didn't you, really? The amount of players we've tried to replace him with, like Gary O'Neill, for example, was one of a few years ago, and it's been the same ever since Amadou this season. But yeah, like you say, Norwich have just always seemed to go back to him, and that's testament to his character and his performances that, to be honest, that there's been no one really up to the quality of of the dark arts, shall we say, of intercepting the ball and making those dirty challenges when you need to. But yeah, he's a fantastic player and a player that will be remembered for many years to come, I think, from Norwich fans.
Nothing wrong with those dark arts, Jacob. That is what makes certain footballers play and actually have an incredible career out of it. Many footballers have made a decent career out of the dark arts. Now, just want to very quickly touch on a story that's come out this week. As if Norwich fans didn't have enough to contend with at the moment, there has been a computer sim from the Euro Club Index. They've used 100,000 simulations, which provide apparently scientific predictions for the campaign. You will not be surprised to hear that they're predicting Norwich for relegation. Just cheers. Thanks for doing that, lads.
Well, not ideal, is it? But I think we've still got a chance, still got winnable games.
So, I mean, this is one of those things, isn't it, that we don't know how long football is going to be on a hiatus for, but it almost seems to be a case, bar Liverpool, of course. They've won the league. They are going to win the league, regardless of how many games they lose from now until the end of the season. They will win the league. If they come back and have the worst start again, they're going to win the league. But for these relegated or relegation-threatened clubs like Norwich, it's almost a case of, right, we kind of have a chance to just go again. It's like a whole new phase of form, isn't it?
Yeah, I completely agree. Like you say, it's just completely start of the season again. I guess Norwich obviously lost to Sheffield United, but the performance recently haven't been too bad. So you could say that there's perhaps a slight frustration there that you've got to start again. But depending on do you play behind closed doors, that can make a massive effect, especially on these Norwich players, I think. Without a crowd that behind them, could completely change their style of play. So I think they've really been affected by Carroll Road support this season, and the away form has kind of shown that without that support that they have struggled. But like you say, I think restart the season when it does start and see where you go. You can really, Norwich can only aim upwards.
OK, Jacob, just before you go, we're going to jump into our Love Sport time machine for one final time this evening. And we are going to go to a special place for you. I want you to delve deep into that memory bank that you've got. Here we go. We're in the time machine. We've just landed, mate. Where are we? Your favourite Norwich City memory?
It's got to be Norwich against Middlesbrough playoff final. The most brilliant day, obviously, the train journey going up, obviously very excited, the biggest game in football is dubbed, isn't it? And then the easiest game I've ever seen Norwich City play. Fantastic football for the second goal before Farker obviously came. We weren't known for such fantastic football. And then the second half, along with 40,000 other Norwich City fans, we could just enjoy the atmosphere and enjoy the whole kind of thought process of going up. I know some people would say the Ipswich second leg would probably tip it in terms of the atmosphere, but it was just such a fantastic day. I mean, at Wembley, winning and then seeing the players lift the trophy, it was a fantastic day and definitely my favourite for me.
It certainly was. Jacob, thank you very much for joining us. Jacob Robinson there from Canary Cast. His favourite memory, of course, that game against Middlesbrough, which Adrian Forbes, our guest in the first half of the show, did get on the pitch and managed to prompt Norwich City fans to a rousing rendition of On The Ball City. Well, this has been the Norwich City Fan Show for another week here on Love Sport. Not so much football to talk about, but hopefully those words from Adrian Forbes and his current situation, Jacob delving deep into the memory bank, gave you a bit of hope in these tough times. We are in tough times, people, but we've got to stay strong. We'll see you next time, Norwich City Fan Show. See you then. Here we go.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Sports Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.